say, you're being mean. No, I'm just being real. Amen. I'm just being real. I want to turn your attention here this morning to Mark chapter number 16, verse number 17. I don't know if I mentioned it, but we had, I think it was 15 or 16 about the Holy Ghost while we were there. And there were several others that, about 40 or so, that had walked away and had backslidden, if we can use that term, and just walked away from God and given up hope and given up on their faith. And there's about 40 that came back during the 2 weeks and prayed and got full of the Holy Ghost again. One man in particular who was so sweet, he sat on his front porch a great distance off from the church, but he listened to me preach that night. And he said, if that preacher really believes what he's preaching, and he can believe in me that God can help me, then I'll go back and I'll live for God. He came back Sunday morning, and he was in the altar on his face with a puddle of tears. I've got a picture of it. With a puddle of tears on his face on that concrete floor for an hour and a half of weeping and praying and speaking in tongues full of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you, it's not really a lot of difference. They still struggle. They still lose hope. They still lose faith. They still feel bad when they fail and make a mistake, just like we do. Amen. And so they need hope back into their life also. I'm thankful for that. So thinking about people receiving the Holy Ghost, which I was so excited about, Maston's sister getting the Holy Ghost while we were there.
Yes.
What an exciting deal that was. Amen. I was thinking about that, and I'm going to preach about the Holy Ghost again. And because there's nothing really greater than the Spirit of Almighty God.
Amen.
Amen. Nothing greater. Amen. And it encompasses so many things, but we gain understanding by the infilling of the Holy Ghost in a great, great magnitude. Mark 16 and 17 says, and these signs shall, they're going to, it's not maybe, it's not if, that shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. A lot of people go, ooh, that's really cool. That's a power, man. I want to do that. And I don't understand why that portion was put there first, an emphasis was put there in first. I just wonder, and this is the way my mind thinks, I look at it, and a lot of people go, ooh, that sounds cool, and they stop there, and they forget what the next part says. And they shall speak with new tongues. And the scripture continues to go on, but I'm going to stop there. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. And if I can go back again, in my name they shall speak with new tongues. I believe the emphasis also still needs to be put on the name of Jesus. For neither is there salvation in any other name.
Amen.
For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It is amazing to me how in our Christian world and society today, they don't put very much emphasis on the Spirit, on the Holy Ghost. But Jesus was one of the main teachers that taught mostly about the Holy Ghost. And was the one of the first ones. John the Baptist was the first one who spoke of the Spirit. But Jesus began to teach shortly thereafter. And we see him teach much about the Spirit. In this last portion, in this last stanza of our opening scripture, they shall speak with new tongues. That word tongues is in the Greek glossa, which means language that was not learned naturally. language that was not learned naturally. Amen. And so we don't learn how to speak with new tongues. There are Christian ideas and theologies and teachings that you can learn how to speak in tongues. If you can learn something, then it's not of the Spirit. Amen. And so many of our Christian world today, it says that you are naturally born or filled when you accept Jesus as your Savior. Then I've got a question for you. Then why did Jesus say that ye shall speak with new tongues? Why did he say that if you are naturally filled with his Spirit when you believe? Because it is evident that Jesus said in this one scripture that these signs shall follow them that believe. In other words, believing is your first step, but then there are things to follow after that. So you are not naturally born or filled with the Spirit of God just because you accept Jesus as your Savior. And I know I'm using that, I'm coining or using that terminology of the mainstream Christian world today. But I believe that we need to believe the way the Bible says believe, and that believing is believing that Jesus is, amen, the Alpha and the Omega. Right. That Jesus is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, amen, the great I am that I am, that he is the Lion and the Lamb.
Amen.
There's a lot to all of that, and I'm not going to go into in great detail because it will get me all sidetracked. But nevertheless, that when we accepted Jesus, there has to be some accepting of Jesus upon us. Now, yes, we always do come, and Jesus does accept us as we are when we first come to God, but we don't stay as we are. For every example in the scripture, when they met Jesus, they never went home the same way that they came. They were always changed. There was always something that happened in their life that changed them. And when you go through the rest of the scriptures, you will see that every time Jesus came in contact or the disciples came in contact with somebody, they were changed. So yes, we come to Christ as we are. And he accepts us as we are. But he never leaves us the same way that we are. Because the Spirit of God does change us. It does make us. That's why the scripture says we become a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. So when you get to, when you believe in him and you receive his Spirit and you move forward in your walk with God, you don't stay the same way.
That's right.
Amen. Everything changes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And again, I gotta move forward. So, the ideology of the mainstream Christian world says that you naturally are filled with it as soon as you accept him. But if that was the case, then Jesus would have said, on the moment that you believe, you are filled with my Spirit. But on multiple occasions, Jesus has very distinctly said, you believe, and then these things happen afterwards. Right. These things fall into place. Amen. For even Nicodemus, he asked and talked about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus comes to him and says, well, you're a ruler of the Jews. You ought to know everything. You have the greatest amount of knowledge and understanding in the religious world. And he said, I'm telling you, or I'm saying it in my own words, but I'll tell it in Jesus' words, verily, verily, I say unto you, I say unto thee, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. He already believed that Jesus was the Messiah because he even said it. He even calls him Rabbi. We know you are come from God. We know there's something, I believe there's something different about you. And Jesus said, if you really believe that, then you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. So he was talking even to Nicodemus in this light. You believe who I am, Nicodemus, but there's something else that's going to happen after you believe. You are going to be born again of the water and of the Spirit.
Amen.
So I want to make this very clear. I'll make it very clear. And I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but I know. I've talked to too many people. They feel like they have the Spirit just because they accepted Jesus as their Savior. I hate to inform you this. That is not what the Scripture says. Okay? And I'm going to go further in this. Jesus taught that believers would be filled with the Holy Ghost. Turn to John 7. And verse 37. John 7 and 37. This is vitally important because the enemy would like to lie to people through false religion, through false teaching. I want to tell you, even Jesus said, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing.
That's right.
There's people out there that want to water down God's word. And I'm going to tell you, not everything is going to make it to heaven. I'm sorry. I can't change what God has said. Straight is the way and narrow is the gate.
Yes.
That's right.
Or narrow is the way and straight is the gate. Or something like that. Both of them. You know what I'm talking about. But wide is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that find it. There's a lot of preachers that want to say, oh, everybody's going to make it. There's just the different levels and there's different... No, it's heaven or it's hell. It's not different levels of heaven and it's not different levels of hell.
No, sir.
The Bible specifically said all liars...
Right.
Yes.
So I'm going to talk about, just for a second, about the smallest, and what most people don't even consider sin anymore. Now you say, well, man, I ain't never been in a church that preaches on sin. That's what I'm talking about. A lot of churches don't preach about sin anymore. They just want to make you feel warm and fuzzy and good and make sure you put money in the offering and you just go on your merry little way and feel good about yourself. But what happens come judgment day?
Come on.
Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of grace and of mercy. Do you realize that the whole entire Old Testament... when you get to reading that, it's a bloody book, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
There's all kinds of death and destruction and all kinds of stuff. And when you look at the Old Testament, look how many times God brings judgment. And you know what? So that's given everybody this concept that God is just ready to beat us over the head. But that's why Jesus came.
Right.
But the reason why the Old Testament is there and it's filled with all of that judgmental aspect is to get us to realize that he is going to judge. But now is the day of salvation. Now is that dispensation of grace. He said, okay, I'm going to give everybody this opportunity. I'm going to come and I'm going to die and I'm going to be the ultimate sacrifice so that everybody can be saved, not that everybody will be saved.
Right.
Everybody can be saved if you follow this path. I don't care what Oprah Winfrey said when she said, oh, there's multiple paths to find whatever and whatever and whatever. If that is so, then prove it to me in the Word of God.
Right.
Show me in the Word of God. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways you can choose. You can choose A, B, C, or D. And I'm not here to beat up on anybody else's religion. That's not what, I don't even care. That doesn't even matter to me. I don't even care what that sign says out there, and we're not even part of an organization or anything like that. It has nothing to do with organization. It has everything to do with what does the Word of God say?
Right. Why? Yes.
Because the Word of God, help me, Jesus. I know I'm all over the place, but I just feel the Holy Ghost right now. Yes. This Bible said that we are going to be judged out of the books.
Right.
Not out of an organization. Not out of the hierarchical priesthood of the Roman Catholic Church or the Latter-day Saint Church or the Assembly of God Church or the whatever or the Pentecostal Assemblies of the Lord Jesus. It don't matter what it says.
Right.
Yes. Right.
It doesn't matter what their bylaws say.
Right.
It doesn't matter what their tenets of faith say. What matters is what the Word of God
That's
says.
Right. Amen.
Because when God pulls out the book on judgment day and he says, he doesn't go over there and grab all of the whatever the Catholics do and all the things that they've changed down through the years. And he doesn't take number 34 of the Books of Mormon. Right. Do you realize it's changed that many? It's changed more times than that. The Book of Mormon has changed so many times. Because they keep on changing with the times. Well, about this, if you go back to the original, then there was stuff that they were never allowed to do that they're allowed to do today.
Yes.
But this Word of God doesn't change.
Right.
I said this Word of God doesn't change.
Amen.
And so we're going to stand before Him, and this is the beauty about God. This is how awesome He is. He goes, look, I don't want anybody to perish.
Uh-huh.
I'm not willing that any should perish. But that all, that's his will, should come to repentance.
Right.
So the Bible is still the most published book on the planet today.
Right.
Why? Because he wants to make sure everybody can have the opportunity to be saved.
Right.
Not that everybody will.
Right, right,
right.
Okay? There's a difference. There's a difference. So, amen. And so we've got a lot of preachers that want a lot more money. And so they preach what is a feel-good message. What doesn't challenge people. What doesn't say or name sin. There's big, and you, I'm not going to name any names, but there's big, big multi-million dollar churches and big, big name people that say, hey, everything's okay. Jesus loves everybody. And he does. And that is true. Okay? It is true that he loves everybody.
Right.
But when you come in contact with Jesus, you don't stay the same way.
That's right.
Things change when
Amen.
Jesus comes into
yes.
your life.
Yes.
You don't continue to walk the way you walk because he creates a new creature inside of you.
Right.
Yes. Oh, Jesus. All right. So John 7 and 37. Let's go there. So you can see what I'm saying. John taught that believers would be filled with the Holy Ghost. All right? John 7 and 37 said, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. So who's speaking?
Jesus.
Jesus is speaking. Saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto
me.
So who's it talking about?
Jesus.
He's saying, y'all can help me out. When I say something like that, go ahead and say it, okay? It's not your question. Especially for you, those of you that know what I'm talking about. You know what the scripture says. You read it yourself. You know. Okay? All right. So who's it talking about?
Jesus.
Oh, that's a little better. Just a little bit more enthusiastic next time. Jesus. Did anybody drink a Mountain Dew this morning? Or did you drink? I mean, has somebody got to do is pass out Red Bulls before church in the morning? Come on, get your own Red Bull. Come to church with some excitement in you.
Amen.
Go to bed early or something. I don't know. Whatever you need to do, come to church alive.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. In the last day, the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Drink who? Drink Jesus. Say, huh? How do I drink Jesus? You drink in the Spirit. Here's how. He that believeth. Everybody say believeth.
Believeth.
On me. Who's me?
Jesus.
It's Jesus. He said, whosoever believeth on me, as the scripture said, not as a denomination, not as an organization.
That's
Come on. I can't stand it when I hear people say, I talk to them and say, hey, why don't you come to church? I want you to invite you to come to church. Oh, that's okay. I'm Catholic. Really? I said, when was the last time you went to church? Well, it's been a little while. I need to go back. Uh-huh. And you're Catholic. I've even had them say, you're Catholic. And when I asked them, when was the last time you went to church? They said, oh, well, I've never gone. It's just that my mom and dad were, so I was born Catholic. No, you're not born Catholic.
That's
you're not born any religion. I don't care what your mom and dad was, your great-grandma and grandpa, your great-great-great-great-grandma and grandpa was. This is not about your mom and dad. This is not about your grandparents. This is about you as an individual. Jesus cares about you. He loves you. It's not about any other religion. It's not about, it's about you. Walked on the face of the earth. Everybody that he rebuked, who did he rebuke? Who did he knock upside the head? All the religious leaders.
Yes.
He said, you hypocrites. Huh?
Yeah,
you're whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. You're a bunch of vipers.
Huh? Right.
That's what he said to the religious people of that day.
That's right.
And then people get mad at me. Well, you're just picking on everybody's religion. No, I'm not. I'm just wanting you to see the fallacy of that religion.
Right.
You need to follow after Jesus and what the scripture says. Not after what some organization says. If Jesus said lying is a sin, hello, lying is a sin. If Jesus said all liars will have their place in the lake of fire, then guess what? I don't have the authority, no priest, no hierarchy, no religious organization has the authority to change the word of God.
That's right.
If you are a liar, you will go to hell. Now, the great thing about it is that Jesus died for you.
Right.
So you can repent of your lying and not go to hell. That's the beauty of it. You don't have be a liar or continue lying, you can be a new creature.
Amen.
So why are you preaching about lying? Because lying is probably even more of a sin than any other sin on the planet.
Right.
I'll guarantee you I could prove it to you if everybody would be honest in this building. But that's the problem. You would lie. Can we be real? You'd lie. Because if I said, how many of you have looked at pornography? There ain't one of you that's going to be honest. But I can guarantee you, there's multiple individuals that has. So you lied. If you couldn't raise your hand. How many of you committed adultery before? I could say that's a married person having sex with somebody else that's not their spouse. That's okay, though. I'm glad you asked that question. And that's good. You're awesome. Okay? It's all right. Adultery. And there could be some, they say, you know, you just lied. You see what I'm saying? And so much of it, here's the fact of the matter is if we go all the way back to the garden, it really starts with lying.
Yeah.
It really starts with being dishonest.
Yeah, right.
I don't care how you slice it or dice it, you want to call it dishonesty, whatever, it's lying.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. I'm trying to save somebody here today. Well, not me. I'm trying to help you be saved. That's
right.
Yeah, I'm trying to help you be saved. But you don't have to be a liar anymore.
Right.
I said, well, it's not really lying. I just, you know, I didn't tell everything. What? Excuse me? Do you accept that when your children say, well, and you find out that there was more to the story, and you go, why'd you lie to me? Well, you can say it so easily to your children because you have the authority.
Right.
Right? You can tell them you lied to me because you have the authority. But when God says you lied, not really. It's like, but God, you know, they did.
Yeah.
Did you see what she did though, God? But that, wow. Well, I don't know why I'm preaching this out. I'm preaching it right now because this is not in my notes. This is nowhere I was going to go. But I'm going to tell you, you cannot be a liar and be saved.
Amen.
I said you cannot be a liar and be saved. You cannot be dishonest and be saved. But let me give you the remedy. If you get the Holy Ghost will make you a new creature and prevent you and keep you and help you to no longer be a liar. It's so exciting. That's what Jesus said. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so that's why Jesus said, you can come and drink of
me.
So it's only going to be by his spirit. It's only going to be Jesus that you're going to drink in. That's his spirit that is going to come out of you like a river. Okay, for those of you that have had the Holy Ghost for a long time, let me just put this little plug in. Is your Holy Ghost flowing like a river? I said, is it flowing like a river? Don't say yes, because you lied. If it ain't really flowing like a river, I want you to get the concept. Yeah. You say, well, I think it's probably like the Truckee. It might not be like the Amazon. And the Truckee, like way up in Lake Tahoe, like a Truckee there. It's not like way down here. Huh? Oh, come on. I don't care how it flows like a river, but the Bible said it's going to flow, or it ought to flow. It ought to flow like a river. It ought to be coming out of you. It ought to be something that is natural to your new creature.
Amen. Yeah.
I need to go back and preach that message when all the people said amen. Was it Deuteronomy like 26 or 36 or something, or 27? I don't remember what it is. But it goes down through all the things that the preacher was preaching, and at the end of every stanza, and all the people said, amen.
Amen. Amen.
And all the people said, amen. Da, 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 da. And all the people said,
amen.
It's okay to say amen. It really is. It's not going to hurt nobody. It's all you're doing is saying, so be it. That's right. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
That's all you're doing is saying, yeah, I believe that. I affirm that. I'm part of that. Out of your belly ought to flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
Amen. Out of your belly ought to flow rivers of living water. There you go. How's that for a river? Come on. You said you're being nasty. No, I'm not. I'm trying to get you to realize that there's so much more than a little trickle that we often just say, oh, I feel Jesus. No, he wants it to be like the mighty Amazon. He wants it to be a roaring river flowing out of you. He wants his spirit to be so alive and so real. You an average life, he's given you abundant life.
Amen.
He's given you a life that is full of glory.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that that's probably partially part of our issue, is the Holy Ghost is not flowing out of us naturally like a river, and so we struggle and we slog through this life and are depressed and got all these mental and emotional issues because the Holy Ghost isn't flowing. If Jesus could cast out a devil and the Holy Ghost comes in and resides, if the apostles could cast out a devil and the Holy Ghost comes in and resides, and there's that much power in the Holy Ghost, then let me tell you something. Depression doesn't have a chance.
That's right.
If the Spirit casts out demons, depression doesn't have a chance. Emotional anxiety doesn't have a chance.
Amen.
Oh, but you just don't understand. You're right, I don't. Because you haven't got to a place in the Spirit.
Come on.
That's right. Amen.
Okay.
Jesus.
So let me ask some of you. You got the Holy Ghost. Some of you got the Holy Ghost. Can I ask this question? That when you're full of the Holy Ghost, isn't it much, much easier to live for God?
Yes.
Is your mind clearer?
Yes.
Is your thought process more clear?
Yes.
Do you remember having a brighter smile on your face?
Yes.
Amen.
Do you just hold your head up like, man, we ain't got a care in the world?
Yeah.
When you're full of the Holy Ghost. That's why when we have a good service and people are full of the Holy Ghost, man, they go out. And how many times you say, man, if my kid would just pray through, why would you say that? Yeah. Why? Why? And here's this one's funny. This one's funny. It's almost as parents say, man, I just wish my kid would pray through. They'd act so much better. And they're probably going, man, I wish my mom would pray through. I mean, she'd treat me a whole lot better. Ooh. Ooh, is that too much truth?
Yes.
That's true. If mama would just pray through, maybe baby might pray through.
Yeah.
Huh? If daddy would get full of the Holy Ghost, maybe they'd get full of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Come on,
man. Amen. Great.
You're a boring preacher, I'll tell you what. You just
bless him, Lord.
Verse 39 said, but this he spake of the Spirit. Now wait a second. This ain't Jesus talking, right? But this is John that wrote the letter, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. In other words, again, I just proved to you in two places, and I'm going to run out of time, big time. I don't care. Two places so far that believing was not the end result of salvation, but believing was the beginning of it,
right.
And that there were some things that should or shall happen.
Right.
After that.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I am trying to preach today, but I'm not getting very far, is the Holy Ghost, his Spirit. This he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Excuse me. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So you got to understand this picture. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the Gospels, all right? John was written... The book of John was written after Jesus died. That's why this portion, or verse 39, is here. To get us to understand that as John is writing this biography, if you will, of Jesus and all that he did and everything that happened, he put in there in verse 39, but this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This scripture was written after Jesus had died, was buried, and resurrected. This scripture was written after they were already filled with the Holy Ghost in the upper room on the day of Pentecost.
Right.
He had an understanding, because it wasn't written right then as Jesus was walking with him and talking, but it was written afterwards. I know that there was footnotes that were being taken all along, but when it was compiled and put together and John finally got to the place where he wrote his book, his biography, it was written from looking on this side of everything over there.
Right.
So really, well, I'm not going to do that. So when you look at that, he was looking from here, and that's why he could say, this is what he was talking about, the Spirit. But Jesus was speaking of the... He was explaining while he was writing what Jesus said.
Right.
Got about it.
Right.
He was explaining that. And so verse 39, that's where that comes in. So when people get confused there, that's what you need to understand. John's writing from this perspective of already receiving the Holy Ghost himself. Of already experiencing the death, the burial, the resurrection. Of already experiencing the power of Pentecost. Of already going through all of these great things of the Word of God. All right? And so, John was able to give this account because he wrote of it later. I believe it was like anywhere from 30 to 40 years later that he compiles all this into a book that is now obviously being published. Okay? Some people, well, how do you know this is true and accurate and blah, 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 blah. Well, whatever. I don't care if you want to talk about whether it's true and accurate or whatever. I just know that when I repented of my sins, something changed in my life. I just know that when I got in a baptismal tank and my pastor baptized me in the name of Jesus, I know something happened on the inside of me. I know that I felt whole. I felt clean. I felt alive. I felt something different. I just know that when this boy at 14 years old got the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, who was a liar? Who was a cheat? Yeah, me. At that age, when I got the Holy Ghost, something changed inside of me. So if you don't want to believe it, go ahead. But you're telling me too late, because I've already experienced it. I've already bought the t-shirt, and I'm still wearing it. I ain't selling it at the garage sale. You can say, well, we don't know if this is accurate. That, well, whatever you want to say, that's fine. But you came to tell me too late,
because
I have experienced it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on now.
Had somebody say, that's why you tell me, don't tell me chocolate ice cream ain't no good if you ain't never had it.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah, true.
If you ain't never had it, don't tell me it ain't no good.
Right.
Huh? Oh, I met people before and go, oh, I don't like that. I said, have you ever tried it? No, but I can just tell. No, you can't.
Yeah, you can.
You gotta taste and see. That's what the Bible said. Taste and see that the Lord, He is good. You gotta taste Him. He said, drink of me. Drink of me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Don't tell me it don't taste good. Don't tell me that's for somebody else. Until you tasted it, after you tasted it, and after you've been through it all, and then you can say, eh. But everybody, now over time I've seen people go, eh, but not when they first get it. Oh no, you couldn't slap a smile off their face. Right, sis? Uh-huh. You get the Holy Ghost, man. And can you put it down? You could have slapped a smile. They can't get offended.
That's the truth.
People full of the Holy Ghost can't get offended.
That's not true.
They cannot get offended. Nothing hurts them.
Truth one.
Now, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, say, huh? So, Pastor, I'll bet. No, you ain't been full of the Holy Ghost. That's the truth of the matter. It may hurt, but it goes, and all of a sudden, it's absorbed by the pain of Calvary's cross, of the sin that He bore for me. All of a sudden, that dart that was thrown at me of hatred and humiliation or whatever it was is absorbed all of a sudden, because I feel the blood of Jesus wash over me again, and I remember who I was. I remember what He delivered me from. I remember what He covered in my sin. And all of a sudden, through the power of of the Spirit and those about me again, that I'm filled with the Spirit again, and that wound heals like that.
Preaching.
That's what was. I felt like I could preach for 5 hours when I was back on the islands. So cool. Everybody, it was just awesome. You ought to go. You ought to go. But it's not for everybody, I know that. So if you go, great. If you don't, that's what I do. Alright. Jesus declared it was necessary. He declares it's necessary in order for a believer to enter into the kingdom of God. I didn't say it. And that's not to say that I'm not going to say it, because I'm going to say it. I'm just going to repeat the words of Jesus. So you can get mad at me if you want to get mad at me, but really what you're saying is, I don't like Jesus. So if that's what you want to say, that's fine. Because Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but that puts a fire inside of me to say, I want to make sure I got that.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that I'm right.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that I do everything that Jesus said.
Right.
But a lot of you go, I don't like what that preacher said. Well, it don't matter what I said. You're going to say the same thing to Jesus? Well, I don't think that was... How do you argue with this? Jesus said, except you be born of the water and of the Spirit, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God. That ain't going to happen. As much as you want to, one ain't going to get it done.
Amen.
You've got to do what Jesus said. Jesus told them that they would be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Same terminology that baptism of water is the same terminology of baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, what does baptize mean? Baptize comes from the original Greek baptizo, which means completely submerge.
Yes.
To be overwhelmed.
Right.
That's right.
Okay. That's it.
So, in order to be completely submerged, what do? We bury you in water all the way down. And hold you there until the last bubble comes out and then pull you up. Completely submerge you in water. Not sprinkle. That is a doctrine of religions today, but that's not Bible. Baptism comes from baptizo, which means to completely submerge or overwhelm. So this idea of sprinkling some holy water on you and you're good to go? Wrong answer. Jesus didn't say that. Bad idea.
Amen.
If you've done that, that's okay. But today's a good day because we got water. It's a good day for you. And you can get baptized in Jesus' name today. The way Jesus said do it. Completely submerged. Overwhelmed with water. Okay? We got it. We're ready for it. That's okay if you did it the other way. No problem. Just do it right. Because you want to be saved. You want to be saved. You want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, right? That's why you're here today.
Right.
No, my husband drug me here. They drug you here? Like, injected you with something? They drug you here? My wife did. Whatever. Okay. You're here. You really had the choice of coming or not to come. Didn't you?
Right.
Was any